welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where Smith just blooms right here on in the garden. And it blooms in athletics and sports. And welcome to April, where I will tell you, folks who didn't think that they were a sports fan or watch sports, they bloomed in April, did they not? Well, I'm going to save that to that commentary for when my guest comes on. So, but we do have some great activities happening in April that I want to put on your calendar. We Coach is offering a level up panel, power panel, matter of fact, at the HBCU High School Unsigned Senior Showcase. It will take place April 23rd, that's Sunday, April 23rd, at the Boo Williams Sportsplex in Hampton, Virginia. And it will take place from 12 to 2. It precedes the HBCU Unsigned Senior Showcase. So we want to see all women coaches at all levels in Hampton, Virginia, April 23rd. From 12 to 2, and we got a fantastic panel of women who have been former coaches, but now in the decision-making position to hire coaches. And so if you want to know how to move up, why not talk to the people who hire coaches who also has been a coach to get you in the right position? I'm excited. I mean, I even know some people are coming from Maryland, Texas. You don't want to miss this great networking opportunity. And I just want to give a shout out to Dr. Ingrid Wicker-McCree, who is making this happen as the point person for the grant that We Coach obtained from We Amplify to increase the number of minority coaches that We Coach serves. And I just feel so pleased that she chose this event to gather with. So I'm excited about that. So also at that event, one of the driving forces of connecting is because we're having our HBCU High School Unsigned Senior Showcase. And I'm pleading with all of you all. If you know a high school basketball player that is a woman that has not received a scholarship, even if, and this is a point of contention, people, for those of you who are on Division III, and we're going to talk to a young lady who works in the conference office of Division III, even if they're considering a Division III, they should still come out. Come out, because you just never know. So it's two calls of action. If you're a coach, please come out so you can look at these young ladies. Number two, if you're a high school coach or you know of a high school senior who has not signed an athletic scholarship, please have them to register. It is so crucial because we have so few women. And I mean, we've just seen one of the most watched national championships and semi-championships ever. And we really, really, really need to let that flow down to give an opportunity to girls. So it's April 23rd. The showcase is from 3 to 7 on a Sunday. The reception, meet and greet, and power panel is going to be at the same location, Boo Williams Sportsplex, Hampton, Virginia, from 12 to 2. And we do have food. So I need you to be there so I can make good on the amount of food I bought. Okay? So, yes, come get filled in both places. So to register for the We Coach event, go to bit.ly/WeCoachLevelUp. WeCoachLevelUp. We Coach Level Up. Please. We really want to see you in Hampton, Virginia in April. And I'm really excited about being able to provide something that targets a market that is very dear to me. I'm also proud, because we only got a couple of days for this, proud to be a gold sponsor of Hilliard Solutions' 5th Annual Virtual Women in Athlete Development Symposium and Networking, which takes place April 12th and 13th. We have, I believe, less than 10 days. April 12th, you really need to get into this virtual room because there's some great networking that takes place. You know, people have virtual conferences and have different formats, but I really love, and this is my first introduction to this type of virtual. It has, you have the conference and you hear the people talking, but then she has several breaks where you can break out and you can have go into these little rooms. It's like you see a table, and then you go in, and then it turns like into a Zoom room because you see all the heads, you know, like live heads, and you talk. And I'll be honest with you, I know I like to talk. There have been times when I forgot to click on and get back to the conference because we had such a great conversation and in the networking tables. So, and I believe, I'm not sure, I believe that as a sponsor, I get a table. And so I'll be available just to sit and you can drop in when we have breaks. So can you imagine networking like you in person? And this is what I tell people all the time. When you go to conferences, you need to be very intentional about your networking. Who is it that you want to meet? So check out the different speakers that they have. I know one of them is my colleague and Garden member, Dr. Paula Jackson. She's a keynote speaker. So if you want to meet Dr. Paula Jackson, Deputy Athletic Director for Hampton University, you should come to this event. And then when we have the breakouts, make sure you come and go meet with whoever she is. These are resources, people, that are just, you can't pass up, especially those who reach out and ask me for advice, you know, or you're looking for a position and you know they may have one. This is your chance, okay? So I'm telling you, if you buy your ticket, here's my bonus for you. Here's my helping you get the urgency here. If you purchase your ticket today, I've been saying I'll give you one leadership book, but I'm going to step that up. I'm going to give you two leadership books because we're coming down to the wire. And you need to purchase your ticket. If you can show me proof of purchase, I will mail you two professional development books. And that is only good for today, April the 5th. Okay? So purchase today, April the 5th, HilliardSolutions.com/symposium to get your ticket today. HilliardSolutions.com/symposium. And guess what? Tonight, we are bringing back Meet the Contributors. It returns tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And guess who will be our guest? It will be Dr. James Hilliard of Healing Solutions to talk about the event. So if you got some questions, like, you know, why should I attend, you know, what is athlete development, you need to definitely attend this, meet the contributors tonight at 6 p.m. And Dr. Hilliard put an ad in the Ladies Magazine. So that's her contribution to the fifth issue of Significance. And I would really implore you to do what? Go get the magazine. Because there are people like Dr. Hilliard. There's other individuals. Another ad we have is at the Emmett Gill by Athlete Talk. I'm honored that folks want to put their specialized knowledge in the magazine. Just ecstatic about that. So call to actions with this. Number one, meet me tonight at 6 p.m. inside the Facebook group or chat in the garden. Number two, go get the magazine. Go get the magazine in your hand. You can go get the magazine at seedsofempowermentstore.com, seedsofempowermentstore.com. It features Trailblazer Frida Goff on the cover. And number three, if you are really interested in being in the magazine, email me at MoniqueAJSmith@seedsofempowerment.info. Again, MoniqueAJSmith@seedsofempowerment.info. And you know, again, when we look at the state of society now, as we just witnessed in this last week, we need our voices to be heard. And many of us have experiences that can really change the mindset of people who are in a fixed mindset to a growth mindset when we tell our experiences, when we tell our expertise, when we honestly just set the record straight. And many of you all have, I would say, a book in you, a story in you, a expertise in you. And this is where this comes from. And I only do the magazine twice a year, once in August and once in March. And so I would say, get the magazine so you can see your sister's expertise. And I know this to be true. There are often times that you can't speak on a subject yourself, but you can bring other individuals in to be speakers. And in this particular fifth issue of Significance in Athletics, there is a section about social justice. I think we have at least two to three individuals who share their expertise and how they have navigated the social justice landscape. One is a coach. We call her Coach Q. And we call her the advocate coach because she's been advocating since she was a college kid. And she's got several areas in that. And I think it's very unique how she became that. And if you want to duplicate your student athletes how to become advocates, it may not be you to be able to say that. You may need to get a bulk purchase of this magazine and put this in their hands. Second one, as it relates to being an advocate, and I'm just really proud of that I know her, is Coach Jenkins, the lacrosse coach for Delaware State. I think that when we can say that we planted seed with individuals for them to stand on their own and their own truth, That's what she did. But somehow or another, these young people knew how to take action in a way that made it safe for them, but made it be to tell a story, to bring light to some injustices. And we all know how it feels to be traveling while black. I'll tell my story another day about that. But I will tell you, I will just say this. I have a different appreciation for some things. I did watch Emmett Till on Sunday after the national championship, matter of fact. And again, it's twofold. So I watched Emmett Till on Sunday. But last month, I did two workshops at two different universities in Alabama. Now, when I travel, I'll be real honest. I don't try to tell my mother where I am because she's just a worrywart and she just worries. But I tell you, she was just really on a different thing when I was in Alabama. And now I know why. A certain generation have memories that stick with them about traveling while black in certain areas. Emmett Till brought that to understanding for me. This is what stories do, people. And this is why I'm so proud that these two women want to be in the magazine to speak to their truth. And I really hope you honor them purchasing the magazine so that you can be able to spread that story. Because if we don't tell the story, and again, our culture usually is don't spread or share dirty laundry. But again, our new generation needs to know that this ain't new to us, and we have ways, protective ways, you can speak your truth and change society. And we need to do that. We cannot be invisible giants anymore. So, again, purchase the magazine. Meet me tonight at 6 p.m., and we're going to talk about Dr. Hilliard's contribution to this issue. And many of you, well, I sent you a link to be a contributor on CWAL Foundation's media training for student athletes. Because I began as a sports information director, I got a couple of folks that I'm kind of connected to. I became an SID over 30-some years ago. And many have left the profession and moved on. But the basis of what we know to do is still there. It was funny. I was talking to my class this week, about the crisis. I said, it's a situation about the Final Four, the Final Championship game with Reese and Catlin. Is it a crisis or is it a scandal? After midterm, I teach a crisis PR piece. The first part, I teach them how to do human interest stories to get people to attend the games. And then crisis PR is a piece that I think, unfortunately, all of us will come across in some frame of function. And it's, you know, you might not be the person to guide it, but at least if somebody asks your opinion how you think it should go, you know, they may have 2 cents to give in. But the one thing it was, okay, a scandal is a one-time deal. So, yes, it might have been talking about this waving of the face. It might have been a one-time thing. That might not have been a good sportsmanship, blah, blah, blah. But what it exposed was a crisis. Because if you look at it, 2 games before, Don Stanley, in the press conference, spoke truth to power. I hear what you're saying. Media, when you talk about my players, it gets back to me. Again, you have to realize the power of the media and how they portray things and how other people believe it to be true. So now we have 2 young ladies doing a similar gesture, and one is described as being hood, and the other one is being described as being passionate. Ta-da. So that becomes a crisis. So you have to deal with them similarly, but you first have to be able to identify one is what. And I'm just really proud of my students because they caught it. They caught it. And so CWOW Foundation wants to really work with our young people and preparing them for the interview. Now, there's some things that I would say. You can still have your passion, have your personality, but if you're so caught up and people can't understand what you're saying, guess what? It tunes you out. So do you want to be heard or do you want to be seen? So these are the kind of things that will go in this media training. So she really wants to assist our young people for lights, camera, action so we don't have any sorry Miss Jackson moments. So if you're interested, and I'm going to say a twofold, if you're interested to contributing in this media training, because there are going to be videos that young people can just watch, and I'm sure there's some activities and whatnot that can go along with this, is and I'm really trying to press upon her about coming to college campuses. But she, when I tell you this girl is busy, she covers these sports, you hear me? But she does it more on the professional side, so she's bringing her professional sports experience down to the college level and grassroots level of our young people. So go to info@cwallfoundation.org. Again, info@cwallfoundation.org to find out how you can get the media training for your student athletes or how you can contribute to the media training piece itself. And again, I continue to support this work. It's called Surviving the Lights, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by Tawana Smith. This book, again, is what the NFL purchased at the Celebration Bowl in 2019 before the pandemic. And if you don't take my word for it, if the NFL thought this book was worthy to put into the hands of young people going to the next level, you need to get this. Because before this book was written before we have name, image, and likeness, which means our student athletes don't have to be professionals to receive money. But they need to have an understanding of how to keep the money, let the money not get them in trouble. And one of the main pieces that are just not understood is the IRS. And they need to have an understanding of that. So how to avoid the curse. The curse is getting money and then losing money, and then losing the money puts you in the hole. So the book is offered on three different formats. It is paperback, audio, and ebook on Amazon. Alva Amaker is an education and risk management consultant. She owns Vigilant Safety Training Center. Her motto is from policy to practice. The center has the following: first responder training, and we all know how important that is since everybody was watching that Monday Night Football. Sport and event safety certification. These are the individuals, I used to say yellow jackets, but I've seen people wear red jackets now, and a neon green jacket. These are your event staff. Even if you hire an outside company, you're still responsible for them to know your policies and procedures. So who do you have educating these individuals on that? And then lastly, she does workspace safety and personal training and operations. And so she has a free assessment that you can take to be able to see which area do you really need to have covered. And I really, really, really encourage you to use this resource because if you need it and don't know you need it, it's a real bad situation when you found out that you need it in the middle of something, a crisis. So go to Vigilance, V-I-G-I-L-A-N-C-E, STC.com. V-I-G-I-L-N-C-E-S-T-C.com. And to get your assessment. So now comes the hour of the time to meet our guest of the day. And I'm really excited about this because I have got questions and I know she's got answers. It's time to meet Amber Thomas, coordinator of sports administration and championships and the ADID at the Centennial Conference. Welcome to the garden, Amber.
Thank you, Ms. Monique, for having me.
Did you hear your cheers?
I did. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yes. So let's just tell everybody about your journey from college to your current position.
Yes. So my journey in college athletics began at Capital University in Columbus, Ohio. I was a D3 track and field student athlete. Originally thought I was going to be an athletic trainer, but quickly figured out that that was probably not my calling. My schedule was really crazy at the time, and I was trying to graduate in 3 years, taking a lot of college credits and balancing track and campus organizations, and it just so happened that one of the only on-campus jobs that really worked with my schedule was in the sports information office. So my first year, I worked for the SID, and I would always be first person there, last person to leave, was really enjoying sports information. So after my freshman year, the SID at the time offered me an internship, and I eventually became the primary contact for cross country and track and field. When I graduated in 2017 with my bachelor's in PR and communications, started applying for jobs and figuring out what I wanted to do after college. And just so happened, Hiram College at the time had their last year of their ethnic minority and women's internship grant. And the position was for the assistant sports information director. So the SID heard about me from my former boss, went in and interviewed at Hiram, which just so happened to be 25 minutes from Cleveland, Ohio, which is home to me. So it was perfect alignment. It was like, thank you, God. So hit the ground running there as the assistant SID and co-advisor to the SAC. Finished my 10-month contract with them and had to figure out again, what am I going to do next with my life? So started applying for different jobs, and then the AD brought me into her office at the time. It was like, hey, so we want you to stay. What can we do? I was really adamant that I wanted to get my master's, but also knew that I wanted some aspect of diversity and inclusion. So I came back the following year as the assistant director of sports information, as well as the program assistant in the Office of Diversity and Inclusion. Learned so much in those 2 years of balance in both of those positions, was able to kind of bridge the gap of there, they call it up the hill, which is everyone else, and down the hill, which is athletics. Graduated with my master's in 2020. And of course the world shut down and I had to figure out, what am I going to do with my life? I was nervous. I remember at the time in May, many of the campuses had started hiring freezes, and I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, don't tell me I graduated with my master's and I'm not going to have a position at the end of this. So a couple weeks after graduation, I heard that the Centennial Conference had created this new position, the coordinator of sports administration and championships. It also had the athletic diversity and inclusion designee tag as well. So interviewed that summer, got the job in fall 2020, moved from Cleveland, Ohio to Lancaster, Pennsylvania to work under Executive Director Portia Hoy, who I have to give her a shout out. She was the first Black woman in D3 to hold the seat of commissioner. So it's definitely been a whirlwind and been an amazing experience for this last 3 years.
So you've been there 3 years, huh?
Yes.
This wow, time flies.
It does.
Wow.
Especially with COVID, for sure.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't seem like it was 3 years ago. You know what I mean?
It really doesn't. It really doesn't.
But so since you mentioned Miss Portia, I'm going to jump to that question.
Okay.
I've known Portia since she was an intern. I've known her since 1999.
Wow.
And I am so proud of her.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, because my question is, your supervisor is a black woman, Portia Hogue, executive director of the Centennial Conference. What lessons have you learned from her, and does representation matter to your success?
Representation definitely matters. I didn't really realize this until recently, that in most of my positions, I have actually worked for women. I have had mentors who are women. And then now working with a woman of color, I feel like adds even more to this. I feel like I learn from her every day. She is definitely one of those leaders that pours into you, but also continues to push you. She never lets you get stagnant in your position, continues to throw new things your way. She is definitely one of those people that will make sure that if you say you want to do something, she'll help you get there. So it's definitely been it's been amazing to be able to work with her.
Well, the key thing you just said is that you have to say something that you want to do. That's one of the things that I will say the younger generation doesn't have really a problem saying. I mean, this is one of those plus minuses at the same time, because, you know, and it's a credit to Portia, because most folks will be like, look, just do the job you got well, and then maybe. But kind of what you're telling me is that you do what you're supposed to do, and you get the push and the extra is, didn't you say you want to do this? Well, then this is something else on your plate. How do you be able to? Because it seems to me like that's one of your models of yourself, because you said when you came back to Harem, you were like, okay, I want to do this SID thing, but I want to do this DEI thing, and you voiced that. Because again, you're a girl of my own heart. I was a SID student worker, and then all of the SIDs in the conference said, oh, there's an opening, you need to do it. And I was like, yeah. And like, no, you need to do it. And that's how I started. But I don't think, with me, what I saw the new thing coming was compliance. And that's why I got my master's. And there was no teaching about compliance in my class, okay? This is 1994. And everybody in my class were athletic trainers, except for like one or two people. So how did you conceptualize into your brain that SID and DEI, and how do you to different areas?
I think a lot of the time I don't think of them separately. Like going back to when I was at Hiram, I think naturally in some instances they kind of combined, but they also were like my two passions. I had always loved the writing recaps, the social media piece, but at Hiram when I started working in the Office of Diversity and Inclusion, we found ways to combine those. I even think about what our workforce looks like, because I'll give you kind of like a overview of what Hiram is. One traffic light, two places to eat in the entire city, Amish country adjacent. So our workforce looks a lot different that first year that I started, and then the last year, And then even some of the ways that we promoted student athletes, I think back to like our quarterback was young African-American man, but was also the president of the Black Student Union. So like, why wouldn't you do a feature story on him and have his input and some of the things that we're working on? So I've always found ways to be able to tie the two, even in the conference office last year. We highlighted all of the amazing athlete of color coalitions, and Johns Hopkins has a Black Student Union. We were able to highlight those voices, and I'm not sure if it was someone that wasn't me would think to be able to tie those two together, because representation is important, and we need to make sure that we're showcasing those voices too.
Wow. That's a good point. I mean, my whole thing has always been highlighting women, because I've been on HBCU campuses, you know, and paid off, because many women that have been in my circles or whatnot have been able to elevate, because I believe in it. I believe that when you showcase, when you make It becomes a pathway for others to follow as well. So not only are you highlighting the one, it becomes the one in the many, you know, when you put it in black and white.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. So tell me again, you all highlighted what coalitions? What's the term?
So we are really thankful the fact that our campuses have created their own organization. So many of them have athlete of color coalitions. Johns Hopkins has a Black Student Athlete Association, and many of them have LGBTQ orgs that are specifically for athletes and run by athletes. So we actually get those groups together, and as a conference, they're able to talk about different initiatives that they're their campuses. They give input into what we do as a conference, but we also make sure that when we have different feature stories, I do something on social media called the Centennial Conference Corner, where I highlight different people from our conference. So we make sure that we pull in the leaders from those organizations, just so people on a greater scale know that the great work that these different organizations are doing on their individual campuses.
Wow, I think that's key, because that's one of the things that drew me to you. I saw where the conference got a Division III award, and I was like, oh, that is just, because again, I don't know, beyond being started as an SID, I also spent 13 years in the conference office, and I began as the PR person, but I moved up to Director of Championship, Director of Governance, and yeah, I was just really intrigued with that, because even in my Division II circles, I had not seen a conference office embrace, I know it's not the term, but in my mind, I see it as a resource group for athletes or affiliate groups for athletes. That's what I see. And I want to say that my first introduction to that was when I started going to the Black Student Athlete Summit. And with the students that attended, they saw presentations about other students doing this. And then each year, you know, you see a different group in a different group. But to see a conference office embrace that, kind of tell me what was that growth from? And how was it received? And I mean, you know, within the conference, we always see that the Division III people acknowledge your work. That is powerful.
Yeah, I will say that we are really lucky in the fact that as a conference, we're kind of on the same page, not about everything, but when it comes to inclusion, we are definitely on the same page about what our goals are and who and what we want to be. So the organizations like the Athlete of Color Coalitions popped up on, I would say, like three of our campuses. And then over time, by the time I came in 2020, there were, I want to say, five more. And we had representation from almost all of our conference schools. And now the schools that don't have necessarily like athlete of color coalition or a specific organization, now within their SAC groups, they have a chair for inclusion. So that person comes to our meetings as well, just to give an update of what SAC is doing and some of the initiatives that they're working on.
Wow. Now, when we talked about, so did you have to do any kind of educating to the administrators to let them know why this is important?
So we first talked to our President's Council. Each year they kind of have a set of topics that they discuss. And the year that I got there, one was inclusion. So we heard from the President's Council that inclusion was something that was really important and something that our conference was going to invest in. And from there, it's kind of easier to get buy-in if each conference president has committed to this. But so far, athletic administrators, even our athletic trainers and athletic communication staff, they also had input into what our policies are and our practices. So this is definitely been a group effort for sure.
So that's some good stuff, because you know, when you bring in, I guess I was really curious for the ones that didn't have it. Did anybody say no? We're good. We don't have it, and we don't see a need for it. Or was it, oh, give us a template and let us have one too?
No, I think it was more so we see what these other schools are doing, and we see the good work that those organizations are doing it. And then I think naturally, even from social media, student athletes from the campuses that don't have it, they're like, hey, I want to create something like that too. And then it's them going to the administration and finding someone to be an advisor. But so far it's been – there's no secrets. They ask each other, hey, how did this work? Right now we're going through rollover, where a lot of our leaders are now some of the younger underclassmen. So there's definitely just a lot of questions and sharing resources of, did this work on your campus? Or how can I do this? How do I get started? And they've definitely been helping each other out.
With that being said, I'm going to my next question, because in my mind, is there some national athlete of color coalition that they go and go get these resources? You know, are you all the first to do this, or where you go to go get a template strategic plan?
I don't think that there is like a national athlete of color coalition that I'm aware of. But I think, like I said, it's just them sharing what they do on their individual campuses and then just kind of tweaking what will work best on their campus and will work best for their community. I know the UAA, which is another Division III conference, they do something similar. That's where we actually got the idea of bringing them all together, because they invited the Centennial Conference to come and sit in. And even at some of their championships, they host different events for their athletes of color to come together and be able to share resources and celebrate. So we're not at that stage yet of doing it at championships, but there's other people who are doing great work in D3 as well.
See, okay, I know... Look, it's a D3 thing, but I'm here to tell you that after today, you might have some D1s and then D2s to come ask you. Yeah, this is why I got to have on the show. This is so exciting. So have you ever been to the Black Student Athlete Summit?
I have not, and I actually heard about it last year, and I was jealous, because I was like, when I was a student athlete, I would have loved to go to something like this.
Yeah, girl. And look, I just booked my flight the weekend. I already had my hotel room. I had done that part. I knew that part was always, because the first time I went, I was a speaker, And somebody, it was Dr. Angel Burdish, and she asked me to present with her because there was very few women of color presenting at this event, because the event really began as the Black Males Athlete Summit, and the women pushed back on the men, and so they changed the title, and I think it's 2015, and I think I went 2016, and I haven't missed one since. And I got two clients that are speaking, possibly three. I got to encourage him to do that. But it's in L.A., so it began in Texas, in Austin, Texas, on the campus of UT. But and then last year was at Houston, and this year is in L.A. So I'm excited. And then every year that we have it, that I'm there, we have a breakfast. And at breakfast, like the guest last week, that's where I met her. And they're like, no, I will not. The breakfast is 6 o'clock in the morning. So you want to be there. It ain't like I just, let me just see maybe. No, you have to be really intentional about getting up 6 o'clock in the morning and being there. And so, I'm just really proud of you all. And I'm going to take a short break here, and when we return, we'll talk some more about the actual award you all received, because I don't think the award was based on this. There's another diversity and inclusion piece that you all do that you got an award. So we take a short break.
Hi, I'm Dr. Janice Hilliard, President and CEO of Hilliard Solutions. Are you interested in entering and advancing in the field of athlete development? Then the 5th Annual Women in Athlete Development Symposium and Networking Event on April 12 through 13 is for you. Since 2019, over 45% of attendees are enjoying their dream job in athlete development. Go to HilliardSolutions.com/symposium today for more information. Looking forward to seeing you online.
Hi, my name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of A&A Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving the lights? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
But welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chatting Garden with Significant Blooms in Athletics and Sports. Well, my question is, what was this award that you all received from the Division III membership this past January, and what role did you play in that?
Yes, So in January, we were awarded the 2022 Division III LGBTQ Conference of the Year Award by the Division III LGBTQ Working Group. This was such an amazing, like, we don't do things for awards, but we were so excited. We were so excited to be able to be named. Our Centennial Conference membership committed to numerous actions, including education. We created a student-athlete inclusion policy, which was one of the newest non-binary and transgender participation policies. Our conference, actually, each of our 11 member institutions now have their own transgender and non-binary student-athlete inclusion policy. We work with our athletics, diversity, and inclusion designees on each of our campuses. Now we come together and we meet a couple times a year to be able to discuss inclusion work on our individual campuses, but also opportunities for collaboration. Like right now, our group is working on, we're creating an inclusion forum for our conference next year. So that ADID group does some great work as well.
Okay, tell me again, transgender policies?
It is a student-athlete, transgender and non-binary student-athlete participation policy.
Okay. Non-binary.
Yeah, so it talks about some practices.
Transgender and non-binary participation.
Yes, policy.
Policy, okay.
Yep.
Gotta have my follow-up stuff, girl. So, and if you don't mind, you know, send me something so I can put it in the group as well. Not the whole policy per se, but, you know, do you have a date for your, you having a conference on this, you say?
Yeah, so next year is still in the early stages, but next year our conference will have an inclusion forum for our administrators and our coaches and support staff that will talk about some of these topics.
That is just so forward thinking. And, I mean, now how many people in your office?
So there are three people in our office. There is me, there is Portia, our executive director, and then we have an assistant executive director.
Now, the reason I want to say that is that there are so many people who say they can't get things done. Because to be honest with you, I was blessed to get a contract to create the Student Athlete Advisory Committee for a public schools athletic conference, because they too only had three staff members. And so they found a way and knew it was important, but because, you know, they had so many things going on. I think that is really a salute to you all of being able to take on a new initiative at the same time running championships. And how many championships do you have?
We have 24 sports. So a lot of champions.
Wow. Well, it sounds like you really have found a great home for you to grow in the sense of planning and being able to match both of your loves of information distribution and DEI work.
I definitely have.
So what would you tell 10-year-old version of yourself?
Probably that everything was going to be okay. I was definitely a box checker. I definitely worry about the future a lot. But at times I wish that I would have enjoyed the moment a lot more instead of worrying about the future or what that looked like, because ultimately everything has fallen into place. I thank God a lot for that, because as I told my story earlier, a lot of it was just being in the right place at the right time and connecting with the right people. So, yes, if I was to talk to 18-year-old Amber, I would tell her everything's going to be okay.
And it's so funny that, man, we have that in common, because I don't think I really enjoyed college until the week before graduation. You know, like, I didn't party. You know, my thing of partying was eating popcorn and playing spades in my room. You know, and I'm still like that today, to be honest with you. I'm going to finish what I got to do first. And so balance, and things are ebb and flow for me. Wherever the moon is, that has got to the focus at the time. And so I have good people around me to remind me. It's interesting because I got a timeshare that we have to use. And I'm up here trying to figure out how I can use it for business and invite somebody to come do a VIP day. And my girlfriend was like, why can't you just use it? Yeah, but that's just a waste of good space and time. And she's like, oh, my God.
Need some you time.
Yeah, that's exactly what she said, and I don't even know how to really enjoy that. So, and I'm 55, so just know that it's something you have to work on all the time.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
And how old are you
now? I will definitely keep reminding myself.
How old are you now?
I actually just had a birthday last week. I just turned 27.
Oh, wow. Okay, so 10 years. So 10 years ago, you would have said yes, because you sound great. You don't sound like a worrywart at all. I mean, it sounds like, what's next? What's next around the corner? We ready?
A lot of it's internal. I try not to show it on the outside, but the internal is definitely – people are screaming.
Oh, wow. Well, I really appreciate you taking time from your busy life, because, again, spring sports has got a lot of championships going on at one time, I'm sure.
For sure. Gearing up in a couple weeks.
Yeah, so I appreciate you 1,000% for being here with us today. And I want to thank also our engineer, John LaHarrison, of Refined Solutions, for being my eyes and ears. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates on show guests and podcasts. Follow us on Facebook, A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, and have a significant rest of the day.